un inusual elemento negativo esta vez.
Los tres principales partidos dicen haber sufrido incidentes desagradables en la campaña que van desde el vandalismo hasta la agresión. Algunos agentes de los partidos dicen que es la campaña más desagradable que se ha vivido.
Uno de los incidentes más sonados ocurrió a principios de este mes cuando alguien arrojó gravilla al líder liberal Justin Trudeau, lo que dio lugar a la presentación de cargos contra un antiguo presidente de distrito del Partido Popular de Canadá.
Las protestas son habituales durante cualquier elección, pero muchos funcionarios de este partido dicen que las que vieron durante esta campaña han sido más alarmantes. El Partido Liberal tuvo que cancelar una parada a finales de agosto por motivos de seguridad.
El director ejecutivo de la Red Canadiense contra el Odio, Ivan Balgord, dijo que esta ha sido la peor campaña que ha visto en la historia reciente en cuanto a la actividad de la extrema derecha, que considera motivada en gran medida por la pandemia y por las movilizaciones antivacuna que estos grupos alientan.
Aunque el Partido Liberal pareció ser el objetivo principal, Balgor dijo que los miembros de la extrema derecha ven a los conservadores como cómplices también.
Entre tanto, en nuestra provincia, a partir del pasado miércoles 15 de septiembre, el gobierno de Quebec ha puesto en marcha la aplicación del pasaporte de vacunación.
El pasaporte, un registro electrónico de vacunación en forma de código de respuesta rápida o QR, entró en vigor el 1 de septiembre prohibiendo a las personas que no estén totalmente vacunadas contra la COVID-19 el ingreso a locales donde se hace una serie de actividades no esenciales.
Este pasado miércoles finalizó el periodo de gracia de 2 semanas que la provincia puso en marcha para que las personas y las empresas se adaptaran. Aunque el sistema estaba en uso, no se impusieron sanciones por incumplimiento.
A partir del 15 de septiembre, entonces, las empresas y los clientes que se nieguen a utilizar o cumplir el sistema de pasaporte de vacunación corren el riesgo de ser multados.
Los mayores de 13 años deben presentar su aplicación VaxiCode o una prueba impresa de vacunación adecuada para poder entrar en una larga lista de negocios y actividades no esenciales.
Las personas que intenten entrar en los lugares que exigen el pasaporte de vacunación sin él se arriesgan a recibir multas similares a las repartidas en el transcurso de la pandemia por infringir otras medidas de salud pública que oscilan entre 1.000 y 6.000 dólares.
Cualquiera que cometa un fraude en relación con el pasaporte de vacunación podría enfrentarse a multas de la misma cuantía. Además, la alteración de un documento gubernamental o el uso de una identificación falsificada están castigados por el Código Penal.
Las empresas que no apliquen las normas del pasaporte de vacunas también pueden enfrentarse a multas de entre 1.000 y 6.000 dólares.
¿Qué pasa si un negocio no pide ver el pasaporte de un cliente? Los clientes pueden denunciar a los negocios que no comprueban los códigos QR. El incumplimiento puede dar lugar a la clausura del negocio.
Además, el gobierno de Quebec ha establecido que los mayores de 16 años deben presentar un documento de identidad con fotografía junto con su prueba de vacunación. Para los mayores de 75 años, se acepta un documento de identidad sin foto.
Una amplia gama de actividades y eventos exigen que se esté debidamente vacunado, incluidos los cines, teatros, festivales, los gimnasios, las instalaciones deportivas y los centros de entrenamiento. Los restaurantes y bares exigen el pasaporte incluso para sentarse en las terrazas, pero no para la comida para llevar. Otros lugares que exigen pasaporte son los casinos, bingos, boleras, parques de atracciones, ferias, maratones y zoológicos. La lista completa está disponible en el sitio web de la provincia.
A pesar de que el 88% de la población elegible de Quebec ha recibido una primera dosis y el 82% dos dosis, el ministro de Salud, Christian Dubé, ha dicho que la provincia podría ampliar el alcance del pasaporte de vacunación dependiendo de la situación epidemiológica del COVID-19 en Quebec.
Las hospitalizaciones en la provincia se han triplicado en el último mes y los ingresos en las UCI se han quintuplicado durante el mismo periodo. En un tuit el martes, Dubé dijo que estos casos son en su mayoría personas que no están adecuadamente vacunadas. Por el momento,
Los comercios y las escuelas no exigirán una prueba de vacunación. Las reuniones privadas, las bodas, los lugares de culto, los balnearios, las autoescuelas y las reuniones y asambleas generales tampoco exigirán por ahora una prueba de vacunación.
durante la pandemia, nuestros niños demostraron lo fuertes, pacientes y resilientes que pueden ser. Llegó el momento de que vuelvan a disfrutar de la niñez, junto a familiares y amigos, con sus compañeros de equipo, junto a otros niños. La vacunación contra la COVID-19 puede ayudar a que los niños vuelvan a ser niños. Protege a tus hijos y a quienes los rodean. Programa sus citas de vacunación cuando la vacuna esté disponible para ellos. Un mensaje del Gobierno de Canadá.
La revista de la semana. Los resultados de las elecciones primarias argentinas. The Weekly Review. The results of the primaries in Argentina. Las primarias abiertas, simultáneas y obligatorias, conocidas en Argentina por su sigla PASO, resultaron con el derechista Juntos por el Cambio adelante del Frente de Todos, la coalición de izquierda peronista en la mayor parte del país. El resultado de esta primera instancia electoral se considera un llamado de atención para el gobierno y marca una tendencia de lo que podría pasar en las elecciones generales del próximo 14 de noviembre, especialmente si se toma en cuenta que en muchas partes la victoria de la derecha fue bastante holgada. Dentro de 2 meses se pondrá en juego la mitad de las bancas de la Cámara de Diputados y un tercio de los escaños en el Senado, las dos cámaras que constituyen el Congreso Nacional Argentino. Los peronistas apuestan ahora a remontar la cuesta, tarea que puede ser bastante difícil. Así como quedó configurado el escenario político, el Frente de Todos perdería el quórum propio en senadores y la alianza de derecha, liderada por el expresidente Mauricio Macri, de Juntos por el Cambio, pasaría a ser la primera mayoría en diputados. Las PASO mostraron también el avance de las opciones de derecha y la consolidación de la izquierda no peronista como tercera fuerza a nivel nacional. En las primarias para diputados, que por ser nacionales y por lo tanto incluyen a todas las provincias, son las que se toman en cuenta para la proyección de los resultados en las elecciones de noviembre, la derecha obtuvo un 40.5%, en tanto que el Frente de Todos, la coalición del peronismo progresista del actual gobierno de Alberto Fernández y Cristina Fernández, llegó a un 31.3%. La izquierda no peronista obtuvo un 6.3%, un escenario que en todo caso la propia expresidente y actual vicepresidenta Cristina Fernández ya anticipaba. La pregunta, por cierto, es ¿por qué ocurrió esto? Eso más allá, por supuesto, que la derecha argentina, como la derecha en prácticamente todas partes, siempre corre con la mayor ventaja de contar con el control de la mayoría de los medios de comunicación y de tener además abundantes recursos para diseminar su discurso. Pero las renuncias de varios ministros y otros altos funcionarios que se consideran cercanos a la vicepresidenta, Cristina, se ha indicado estos días como síntomas de lo que andaría mal en la conducción del gobierno, y por cierto, ciertas desavenencias al interior también. Se ha sumado a esto la carta hecha pública por la vicepresidenta, en la cual, entre otras muchas cosas, señala que, comillas, recuerdo el acto que se llevó a cabo en el Estadio Único de La Plata el 18 de diciembre de 2020, del cual participamos muchos compañeros y compañeras del Frente de Todos junto al presidente de la Nación, cuando expresé textualmente: pero ojo, yo no quiero que ese crecimiento, el crecimiento económico del año 2021, que acertadamente pronosticara el compañero que me había precedido en el uso de la palabra, solo queden 3 o 4 vivos nada más. Para esto me parece que hay que alinear salarios y jubilaciones, obviamente precios, sobre todo los de los alimentos, y tarifas, cierre comillas. La expresidenta apuntaba sin rodeos al punto central que sin duda ha tenido un efecto determinante en el resultado de las primarias: la conducción económica. Y en esto se pone en el foco la gestión del ministro de Economía, Martín Guzmán, que ha aplicado una política fiscal que ha repercutido negativamente sobre los ingresos de los trabajadores. En esto el gobierno de Alberto Fernández se ha visto enredado, como ha solido ocurrir con otros gobiernos progresistas, en el complejo dilema de administrar la economía dentro de un paradigma que se da por inamovible, fundamentalmente políticas fiscales que, aunque se las disfracen o suavicen, al final terminan alineándose con la ortodoxia del Fondo Monetario Internacional. Al momento de cierre de nuestra edición en Buenos Aires, incluso se rumoreaba sobre la permanencia de Guzmán en esa cartera, pero de cualquier modo, la crítica apunta a la política económica del gobierno de Fernández, que de algún modo ha producido decepción en los trabajadores y sectores más pobres de la sociedad, justamente los que pusieron sus esperanzas en el gobierno luego de la desastrosa gestión de Macri, que no hizo más que acentuar las desigualdades, aumentando de modo abismante los índices de pobreza en el país. Pero claro, cuando la alternativa que planteaba la dupla Fernández-Fernández y el entusiasmo creado en torno al Frente de Todos a medio camino tampoco ha podido satisfacer las demandas populares, la gente, quizás con muy mala memoria, vuelca su apoyo precisamente hacia quienes fueron los causantes de la crisis en primer lugar. Todo esto sumado, además, con los efectos que ha tenido la pandemia en términos de su impacto sobre el empleo y el crecimiento económico. Las cosas se han tornado complicadas para el Frente de Todos, y no hay mucho optimismo de que aquí a noviembre las cosas cambien a su favor. Pero de todos modos, el gobierno y sus partidarios deben hacer un acucioso análisis autocrítico de lo ocurrido y, en especial en el área de la economía, dar un golpe de timón que signifique abandonar los parámetros neoliberales y, en cambio, que, como dijo Cristina, que los beneficios del crecimiento económico, que invariablemente vendrán con la reactivación una vez que la pandemia esté más controlada, no sean para unos pocos, sino para la masa trabajadora, precisamente la gente que históricamente ha apoyado al peronismo, y que sería una contradicción fatal que ahora se tornara a apoyar a la derecha. The open, simultaneous and mandatory primary elections, known in Argentina by its acronym PASO, resulted with the right wing Juntos por el Cambio ahead of Frente de Todos, the Peronist left-wing coalition. This was the result in a good part of the country. The result of this first electoral instance is considered a wake-up call for the government and marks a trend of what could happen in the general elections of next November 14th, especially if it is taken into account that in many parts of the country the victory of the right wing was quite comfortable. In 2 months' time, half of the seats in the Chamber of Deputies and 1/3 of the seats in the Senate, the 2 chambers that make up the Argentine National Congress, will be at stake. The Peronists are now betting on going uphill, a task that may be quite difficult. The way the political scenario was configured, the Frente de Todos will lose its own quorum in the Senate, and the right-wing alliance, led by former President Mauricio Macri of Juntos por el Cambio, will become the first majority in the Chamber of Deputies. The PASO also showed the advance of the right-wing options and the consolidation of the non-Peronist left wing as the third force at national level. In the primaries for deputies, which are national and therefore include all provinces and are the ones taken into account for the projection of the results in the November elections, the right wing obtained 40.5%, while the Frente de Todos, the progressive Peronist coalition of the current government of Alberto Fernández and Cristina Fernández, obtained 31.3%. The non-Peronist left obtained 6.3%, a scenario that in any case the former president and current vice president Cristina Fernández herself had already anticipated. The question, of course, is why this happened. This beyond, of course, the fact that the Argentine right wing, like the right wing almost everywhere, always has the major advantage of having control of most of the media and of having abundant resources to disseminate its discourse. But the resignations of several ministers and other high officials who are considered close to the Vice President Cristina have been indicated these days as symptoms of what might be wrong with the government's management. To this has been added the letter made public by the Vice President in which, among many other things, she stated that, quote, "I remember the act that took place at the Estadio Único de La Plata on December 18, 2020, in which many members of the Frente de Todos participated together with the President of the Nation, when I expressed textually, 'But be careful, I do not want that growth, the economic growth of the year 2021, that was rightly predicted by the comrade who had preceded me in the use of the word, to be kept just for three or four privileged people. For this, it seems to me that we have to align salaries and pensions, obviously prices, especially those of foodstuffs and utilities." Unquote. The former president pointed, without beating around the bush, to the central point that was, or that has undoubtedly had a determining effect on the outcome of the primaries. The economic management, and in this the focus is on the management of the Minister of Economy, Martin Guzman, who had applied a fiscal policy that has had negative repercussions on the income of the workers. In this, the government of Alberto Fernández has been entangled, as has been the case with other progressive governments, in the complex dilemma of managing the economy within a paradigm that is considered immovable. Basically, fiscal policies that, although they are disguised or softened, in the final analysis they end up aligning with the orthodoxy of the International Monetary Fund. As we went to our deadline in Buenos Aires, there were even rumors about the permanence of Guzman in that portfolio. But in any case, the criticism points to the economic policy of the Fernández government, which in some way has produced disappointment in the workers and poorest sectors of society, precisely those who placed their hopes in the government after the disastrous management of Macri, which only accentuated inequalities, increasing abysmally the poverty indexes in the country. But of course, when the alternative proposed by the Fernández-Fernández duo and the enthusiasm created around the Frente de Todos halfway through has not been able to satisfy the popular demands either, the people, perhaps with a very bad memory, turned their support precisely toward those who caused the crisis in the first place. All this added to the effects of the pandemic in terms of its impact on employment and economic growth. Things that have become complicated then for the Frente de Todos, and there is not much optimism that between now and November things will change in its favor. But in any case, the government and its supporters must make a careful self-critical analysis of what has happened and, especially in the area of the economy, give a change of direction that means abandoning the neoliberal parameters and instead, as Cristina said, that the benefits of economic growth which will invariably come with the reactivation once the pandemic is more under control, do not go to a few, but to the working masses, precisely the people who have historically supported Peronism, since it would be a fatal contradiction if they now turn to support the right. Good day.
Yo,
al verte sonreír,
soy el niño que ayer fui,
el niño que ayer fui.
Sí, yo velo por tus sueños, el miedo no vendrá y así sabrás lo bello que es vivir.
Caen mil lágrimas al mar,
mil lágrimas al mar. No me verás llorar.
Y es que solo tu alegría amansa mi dolor, y así yo sé lo bello que es vivir.
Se irá sin avisar y al fin sabrás lo bello que es vivir.
Se irá sin avisar y al fin sabrás lo bello que es vivir.
Bueno, y ahora vamos al fichero latino de hoy, 19 de septiembre del 2021. Entre los eventos tenemos velada de beneficio para los niños de la provincia argentina de Salta, con la participación del grupo Fogón. Ayuda a los niños y al mismo tiempo disfrute de una velada plena de música, arte, empanadas y buen vino. Esto es el viernes 1 de octubre a las 18 horas en la casona ubicada en el 4602 de Saint Laurent, tercer piso. Para más información tienen que consultar el sitio Guri Music and Art Fundraiser y ahí van a encontrar más información acerca de esta gala beneficio.
The book Chilean Presence in la Belle Provence, English version of the book Presencia Chilena en la Belle Provence, written by Sergio Martinez and Roberto Hervas, is already on sale at Argos Bookstore, located at 1915 St. Catherine West, and Paragraph Bookstore on 2220 McGill College Avenue. Price $10 plus tax.
La edición inglesa del libro Presencia chilena en la Belle Province, Chilean Presence in la Belle Province, escrito por Sergio Martínez y Roberto Hervás, está a la venta en librería Argos en el 1915 de Saint-Catherine Oeste y en la librería Paragraph, esto es en el 2220 de McGill College Avenue, al precio de $10 más impuesto. L'édition française du livre Présence chilienne dans la Belle Province est maintenant disponible à la librairie de l'Université de Montréal, 3200 Champlillian à la librairie Bertrand, 430 Saint-Pierre, Vieux Montréal et en ligne sur Renoblet.
Bien, y anuncios de interés público. Vacuna contra el COVID-19. Consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Clinic Clic Santé en francés e inglés. También se puede llamar por teléfono al 1-877-644-4545. Recuerde que ahora estar vacunado y presentar su pasaporte de vacunación es necesario para ir a un restaurante, un bar, un cine o una sala de conciertos.
Y el tiempo para hoy, según la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá, principalmente soleado con una temperatura máxima de 22 grados, para esta noche despejado con una mínima de 11 grados. Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que desean difundir en el fichero latino, solo tienen que comunicarse con nosotros a Latin Time a nuestra dirección electrónica laplaza.info@gmail.com.
O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime y de paso denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook.
Y Tiempo Latino es escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del internet. Entra al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca.
Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario, simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado, presionando Latin Time.
esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa de International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next the International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes.
This is Glenn Hauser. You're listening to the International Radio Report, 30 minutes of radio news and information every Sunday morning on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is Sunday, September the 19th. We welcome you to our weekly 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio. My name's Sheldon, and Jill is with me as usual. We thank you for tuning in. You can contact us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We're live streaming and archived at ckut.ca. Our Facebook group is International Radio Report, where we have 627 members. And our YouTube channel, if you'd like to catch the show on YouTube afterwards, it is youtube.com/International Radio Report, and you can subscribe to the channel there as well. We have a mishmash of stories today from around the world, so we'll get right to them, starting with some positive news about shortwave, which is always good. We're always reporting on stations disappearing from shortwave or services being cut. This time we have something coming back. And it comes to us via Mike Cooper and Steve Luce through Glenn Hauser's World of Radio source. And the headline is Reactivated Deutsche Welle Shortwave Radio Service for Afghanistan. On September the 13th, Deutsche Welle reactivated daily programs in the Dari and Pashto languages via shortwave to provide credible information to listeners in Afghanistan. The service had previously been dropped by Deutsche Welle in 2019. The Deutsche Welle Director General Peter Limburg says, quote, "In Afghanistan, media diversity and free access to independent information are under acute threat. Deutsche Welle has an experienced and skilled editorial team for the region, which will contribute to providing better information to the people of Afghanistan with a shortwave radio service in Dari and Pashto, in addition to our online and social media offerings." So Deutsche Welle will be broadcasting daily half-hour programs on two frequencies, 15230 kHz and 15390 kHz, at 1400 UTC and 1430 UTC. First broadcast is in Dari, the second one in Pashto. Transmission sites are the Now in Germany site for 15230 and the Dabaya United Arab Emirates site on 15390. Debarati Guha, who is Deutsche Welle Program Director for Asia, says, "The focus of our program will be on the topics dialogue and peace, civil society, and gender and human rights issues. With the new shortwave service, we're also prepared in case the internet is shut down or restricted in Afghanistan. Deutsche Welle will not abandon the people there and will continue to provide them with balanced information." Now, this is something we're not hearing very often.
Nope. But what's interesting is, you know, already Deutsche Welle is such a small service compared to what it used to be on shortwave. I mean, it left behind just a handful of broadcasts, mostly to Africa in most cases. And it is interesting that they are taking the relay and saying, you know what, we need to add broadcasts to Afghanistan. And, you know, internet shutdown, we've mentioned that a few times over the past shows in the years. And I mean, it's a perfect example where shortwave is extremely useful to get the information across.
And it's good to see that at least they have one shortwave transmitter site still available to them in Germany. Yeah. And this fairly large transmitter site in the United Arab Emirates, that according to the World Radio TV Handbook, has four 500 kilowatt transmitters at that location. So it's used by a number of different broadcasters. So it's a good spot to cover parts of Asia, the Middle East, and I guess down into Southeast Asia as well, probably. So they will be getting these out. The broadcasts are on already. I've seen some reports from people in Europe picking these up. Haven't tried them here. I'm not sure the propagation path will be too good for us in North America, but you never know.
Yeah, absolutely. The Now in Germany transmitter site is also a pretty big one and used mostly now by relays. A lot of shortwave broadcasters relay from Now and even some private shortwave broadcasters, actually. So we have something also kind of interesting and a halfway comeback to, you know, it's not to the radio yet on shortwave or anything, but something is interesting with the Bulgarian National Radio. They have decided to do podcasts in several languages. So this is via Alan Rowe in the UK. The shortwave service from Radio Sofia Bulgaria, from the Bulgarian National Radio, ceased some years ago, moving to online daily webcasts only. In time, they also ceased, leaving only a text-based news service online at the bnr.bg website. Now, thanks to a Facebook post by Sarkis Ga, Radio Bulgaria again has daily webcasts, Bulgaria Today, in English, German, Russian, and Turkish, with Spanish, French, Greek, Serbian, and Albanian to follow. Now, that is interesting. You leave shortwave, you try something on the internet, it didn't work out, but now you decide you're coming back to the internet with some daily you know, podcasts in different languages. That's very, very close of a step of, you know, coming back to shortwave. And I think one of the things we should actually do here is let them know about the fact that they could really cheaply hire some airtime, you know, via WRMI. So the podcasts are 15 to 25 minutes, comprising news reports and some music. So like we say, can we dare hope that maybe they could come back to shortwave via relay? They have an email, and maybe it would be a good idea to write to them and let them know that that option exists at very low costs, but also write to them to, you know, let them know that maybe you're out there listening to those new podcasts. English at bnr.bg. So let's write, let's let them know. It might be interesting. We can all remember, well, those that have listened to shortwave for a long time, Radio Sofia in the times of the Cold War. Then we had Radio Bulgaria that was for a while and shut down. I miss Radio Bulgaria. It was one of those stations that was interesting and that I enjoyed. I still remember when I got a tape, which was not even an official tape, a four-track cassette that had Bulgarian music through the mail. Obviously, a copy of some cassette that they have there in Bulgaria. It was kind of interesting to see that. I must still have this somewhere here. But let's, you know, hope. We never know. And with the cheap relays today, they might be able to get themselves back on shortwave for, you know, our enjoyment.
We move next to the United States, and there's been a lot of talk over the last few months about the National Association of Broadcasters Convention, which was scheduled to take place in Las Vegas. And this was one major conference. So many of them have been canceled for the last year and a half due to COVID. But the plan was to go ahead with the 2021 NAB show. But Paul McLean of Radio World reports the following. The National Association of Broadcasters will not hold its in-person event in Las Vegas next month after all, succumbing in the end to effects of the pandemic on the nation's business. The NAB announced that the 2021 NAB show won't happen. This comes in the wake of several major exhibitor pullouts at the end of last week. Until now, the convention organizers had pushed ahead, hoping to avoid having to go another calendar year without their signature convention. They'd put health precautions in place that included a planned requirement for proof of vaccination. The announcement was made on Twitter and in an email to the show community from Chris Brown, NAB Executive Vice President and Managing Director of Global Connections and Events. He says, as we have always kept the best interest and safety of the industry as our priority, it has become apparent in the face of these challenges that we can no longer effectively host the NAB show or our co-located events, the radio show and sales and management television exchange in person. Unfortunately, the pandemic and surge of the Delta variant has presented unexpected and insurmountable challenges for our global community. Organizers said that there will not be an online or virtual NAB show experience in place of the in-person show, but they are working on options to present some content from the planned conferences via its NAB Amplify platform.
Now, that is something I've been following on WWCR. They have and talk about it a lot on their Ask WWCR show. That's a 15-minute show. And also on AWR Wavescan, where they talked quite a lot in the past months of the NAB. And, you know, this is a place where they actually decide a lot of the future of broadcasting. They talk together. They, look at what's the future of broadcasting. And I remember last year when they did a virtual one and tried to push DRM again. I think they're trying to find ideas and trying to find a way to see how the future of radio is shaping up. It's sad that they're not going to be able to do a event in person. But hey, any virtual conferences are still pretty good, and hopefully some good decisions will come out of this. And I think what is important as radio listeners, it's really good to follow these conferences, because a lot of the decisions there will impact our listening experience and shape our own future of how we'll listen to radio, digital or analog and shortwave or medium wave or FM. It all happens in the NAB conferences. So we have to take a look and follow. Hope that next year, maybe they'll be there in person and continue forward to the future of radio broadcasting. So what's happening with our son? It's kind of quiet now, but this week there was some sunspots that slowly, there were like tons of sunspots last week. And sunspots slowly degraded over time in the past days. Today, as we are recording, there's no sunspot on the sun. So it's quiet down. The solar flux at around 75. There's a little bit of geomagnetic instability that happened. But overall, no coronal holes. So that means that things might be quiet. Let's hope for the return of a few sunspots to push that solar flux higher again. But you know what? No sunspots, and I had some really amazing DXing on the radio today. That just shows you that you turn on that radio and you listen, and miracles can happen.
This is Amanda Dawn Christie telling you that if you're interested in radio, AM, FM, shortwave, amateur radio, pirate broadcasting, and more, you won't want to miss the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
We have another major event that has been canceled this week, and it is the Tokyo Ham Fair. This comes via Southgate Amateur Radio News. Japan's Japan Amateur Radio League has announced the cancellation of the world's largest amateur radio event, the Tokyo Ham Fair 2021, which had been planned for October 2nd and 3rd, 2021. The Japan Amateur Radio League says, "We were hopeful to have Ham Fair 2021 with possible preventative measures against COVID-19, but another wave of infection came in this summer. Considering the worse than expected COVID situation, JARL reluctantly decided to cancel the 2021 Ham Fair. We hope the Tokyo Ham Fair can come back in year 2022 under safer conditions. Until then, we wish you all to stay safe and healthy." This comes from Ken Yamamoto, JA1CJP of the Japan Amateur Radio League International.
That's interesting because, you know, last year we understood and we thought, well, maybe, you know, next year everything is going to happen. But obviously it's a little more complex than we thought. So it's sad to see that some of these events are being canceled. But at the same time, you know, it's for everybody's health. So this one is kind of interesting. I've actually was listening to that pirate last week and via the WRMI pirate relays that we've been having on Saturday evenings in North America. Radio Merlin International got raided, and this is via numerous sources. The long-running shortwave pirate Radio Merlin International was raided by the Office of Communications, Ofcom, and backed up by five police cars. Ofcom had a warrant to enter operator Paul Watts' premises while it was unoccupied and proceeded to remove equipment from the studio. The station, which has been running since 1990, has been one of the most regular operators on 48 meters, running daily broadcasts on 6305 kilohertz. Recently, the station was heard widely across North America thanks to a relay via WRMI. But it looks like Merlin will be off the air now for the foreseeable future. The last UK shortwave pirate to be raided was Bogus Man, who had been broadcasting on an international emergency frequency, but we don't know what prompted Ofcom to take action against Merlin. All the best, Paul and the team at Merlin. You know, these are often being tipped off by somebody. Often they're on the air for a long time. I am so amazed at the amount of European pirates that actually have this 24-hour schedules on their shortwave broadcasts. And we don't hear that much about these European pirates being busted. You know, here in North America, you'd do a 24-hour pirate. It wouldn't take long. You'd be off the air.
Yeah.
But in Europe, for some reason, it's different. But obviously, you know, could it be related? Maybe, you know, the fact that you have added publicity with all the broadcasts via WRMI that came up, maybe somebody tipped them off. I don't know.
Yeah, it's certainly drawing a lot of attention to these stations by relaying them through WRMI, even if it's a, you know, a one-shot thing for each station. It's just giving, you know, radio fans around the world an opportunity to listen to them if they can't hear the station directly. But, you know, there may be an unforeseen byproduct of this extra publicity, because it is rather odd for these stations to get raided like this in these days and times. So anyways, we'll see what happens with that. I don't know if any charges will be pressed, but it sounds like he's at least lost his equipment from his studio. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about some of these Euro pirates, because there is an opportunity for you to hear them through different manners. One, we talked about the SDRs tuning in overseas, and trying to listen to some of them there. But, you know, there have been some of these stations being relayed. We talked about Radio Merlin, and Texas Radio Shortwave has been compiling a schedule of retransmissions of these programs, in particular via WRMI. So we do have a number of these stations coming up over the next couple months, actually. And this will give you at least an opportunity here in North America to listen to them via WRMI. So have you listened to any of these, Jill?
Yeah, I listened to almost all of them. I did not miss many. Some are mostly music. Some are more talk and interaction. Actually, Radio Merlin was very, it was a lot of interaction with users and user emails. It was kind of interesting. Some of them, like I said, are more music-centered. A lot of pirates today are very music-centered. We got to say that the good old days of, you know, when pirates had, I don't know, I don't want to offend any pirates, by the way, but when they had a little more imagination, let's just say it like that, and would have all sorts of comedy skits and all sorts of really fun stuff to listen to. But one of the things I would say here is to focus on, if you remember, 0 hours UTC, that's Sunday UTC technically, but in North America, it's Saturday evening. You will have every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 0 UTC, some pirate stations rebroadcast from WRMI on 5950, and it's been giving a really good signal. 5950 is much better than the other one they were using this summer, which was 5800. That one was kind of weak, but 5950 is pretty good. So there's some upcoming shows that are kind of interesting to check out. The next one, actually coming up on September the 26th, is Offshore History Radio, the Netherlands. This seems to be a show that is more about the history of pirate radio, or more than anything from what we've encountered and looked on the internet. October the 3rd, there's Radio Monique International from the Netherlands. On October 10th, you have Radio Blackstone International, also the Netherlands. A lot of pirates in the Netherlands, kind of interesting. October 17th will be Charleston Radio International from Germany. October 24th, you will have, which is special, KR1 from the Netherlands. And on Halloween night, there's going to be Cupid Radio, the Netherlands, which is a station I've heard a long time. I've heard that station, Cupid Radio, actually, on shortwave on the 13-meter band and the 19-meter band many years ago when they were trying to broadcast direct to North America. So there's a lot of these interesting shows and pirates to listen to. Remember the time, 0 UT, Sunday, 5950. This is via WRMI. It's Saturday evening, and some entertaining European pirates. We don't hear Euro pirates a lot here. They're difficult to get. On the East Coast, we do sometimes get a few of them, but most of them are very difficult in North America.
So we thank Texas Shortwave Radio for passing along that schedule of these upcoming broadcasts, and they'll have them going through right now to the end of November. And we'll see what happens once they've completed that schedule, whether they'll continue this exercise. So some definitely different types of programming to hear. A lot of these stations, as you said, are music-based, and they're almost like commercial radio stations. They're not your conventional pirate that pops up, you know, once or twice here and there, kind of unexpectedly. These are stations that have been, in many cases, broadcasting for quite some time. So we hope that they don't all meet the fate of Radio Merlin International, as we reported earlier in the show. But this will give you an opportunity to tune in and listen to these stations being relayed through WRMI.
It'll be interesting to see also some of those Euro pirates on their frequencies are like 24 hours. If there's a change in schedule, if maybe they'll less time on the air to maybe, you know, not have too much problems in the future. And if you're wondering if in North America we've got pirates, we do. But in North America, they're very different. They're not on a schedule in general. They are, you know, just you have to listen to the bands, mostly weekends. But any night you can have pirate radio stations, 6850 kilohertz to 7000 kilohertz. Some are in single sideband. You know, I get messages from time to time. Oh, do you have a pirate radio schedule for North America? No, that doesn't work that way at all in North America. It's you got to be there when it's there because you never know when they're going to pop up here.
Yeah, you're really best to, you know, to use some of the sites that are out there that help you find these stations. HFunderground.com is probably your best source.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting real-time reports of people hearing pirates with details of the time and frequency. So check out HFunderground.com. You can look up listings there as well of the European pirates also. But it's an excellent site to find the latest activity on the pirate radio stations.
Yeah, and sometimes you're trying to identify what pirate it is. Often it is already ID'd on that website, but it's definitely the place to go to find out what's happening with the pirate stations.
So we move over to Belgium, and this is a story by Mike Terry via Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. A switch from analog to digital radio offer. From September the 15th, 2021. In an unprecedented collaboration, maradio.be, Digital Radio Vlaanderen, and the Vandenboer retail stores have joined forces to help listeners switch from analog to digital radio. Belgian listeners have until the 30th of September to visit their nearest store to recycle their old radio and receive a discount on the purchase of a new DAB Plus receiver. Says maradio.be, broadcasting on DAB Plus is greener, consumes less electricity, requires fewer antennas, and generates much less electromagnetic radiation than FM.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like they got some fancy marketing guy here working for them.
Yeah. There's one thing I don't understand in this article is, what do you mean recycle your old radio?
Yeah, I want to be there when people bring in these radios that they have.
I'll recycle.
Yeah, we'll find a home for some of these radios. I'm sure there's some really nice equipment out there that that people may just not realize that other people would be interested in. I wonder who owns the store. Maybe he's an antique radio collector or something, and he's going to have a nice collection. How many people will go ahead and do this? I don't know. I don't know how much publicity they're doing in Belgium for this. But an interesting way to try to get people to convert to digital radio.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
Yeah, not a lot, but a couple large ones this weekend that will satisfy your thirst for ham radio contests, I'm sure. If you're into RTTY, radio teletype, the CQ Worldwide DX contest is 0100 September 25th to 2359 Zulu September 26th, sponsored by CQ Magazine. The objective is for amateurs around the world to contact as many other amateurs in as many CQ zones, countries, and U.S. or Canadian locations as possible. It's five bands only, though. 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz, and it is radio teletype only.
I like this. I've almost every year I try to get on this one. It has so many unique stations and countries you never hear on the bands. There's the main QSO party, 12 Zulu September 25th to 12 Zulu September 26th. Sponsored by the Wireless Society of Southern Maine, the bands and modes 160, 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10. And it's CW and phone. That phone is single sideband, FM, and AM mode.
And finally, we have the AGCW VHF-UHF contest. This will be for people predominantly in Germany, sponsored by the Germany Telegraphy Activity Group. CW only, 1400 to 1700 UTC will be 2 meter CW only, specifically between frequencies 144.025 and 144.150 megahertz. And then from 1700 to 1800 UTC, the 70 centimeter CW band between 432.025 to 432.150 megahertz. So that's a very localized contest taking place in Germany. If you're listening to us over there in Germany, you might want to give it a shot.
Absolutely. And we are out of time.
We are. We thank you for tuning in. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. And if you want to listen to the show again, you can do so either at the live, at the archived version of the show at ckut.ca or on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/internationalradioreport. Have a great week, everybody. We will talk to you again next Sunday on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal with the International Radio Report.
Bye-bye.
To see his favorite band play live. He's thought about it all week. He bought his ticket. He wore his band t-shirt. He went to the concert venue. He wasn't allowed inside the concert venue. He put away his band t-shirt. He threw away his ticket. And he thought about it all week.
Don't wait until it hits you. Get vaccinated. Beginning in September, you'll need a vaccination passport to enter certain public spaces. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.